Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Louis Aircliff, Britney Spears, Kim Kardashian, Paris Hilton, and that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global.
I mean, the lines are blowing up.
Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E.
Oh, look at you.
All right, honey, buddy, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Gary Hammer. Hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. Boy, he was powerful. This is a no-win situation. I'll give you a call in about an hour and a half. You know what I'm saying? I survived it, and I'm at the end of it.
Talking about her mystery series, Mildred in Disguise, and we will be talking to her about these great books. And if you'd like to come into the studio and join us, 319-527-6099 is the number. Toni Keefe, a child of the 60s, Midwestern by birth, Northwestern by choice. Toni challenges the boundaries for women of a certain age. After a long career as an insurance adjuster, she fell into writing through a challenge from a friend. She's released her first book, Old Baggage, and recently followed with Mildred in Disguise with Diamonds. There are three more in the grinder. Toni never dated Mick Jagger, but marched for civil rights, shared bread with icons of politics and art, and she's spending her retirement gathering stories, prime for embellishment. Writing has taught her inspiration without perspiration is just a good idea. And if you'd like to see more of her books, you can go to her website, tonikeefe.com. And today's show is brought to you by Purple Diamond Publishing. Charisse Kateri Cox, she is the owner of Purple Diamond Publishing. You've written your book. Now let Charisse and her literary consulting agency help you make that book a bestseller. And here to tell us a little bit about what she does and how she can help you get on that bestseller list is Miss Charisse Kateri Cox. Good morning, Charisse. Did I catch you?
Good morning.
Huh? Did I catch you?
You actually caught me a little dumb.
Uh-oh.
Oh, I don't know why I'm so quiet today. Jeez. I forgot it was Friday. You know that's bad. Oh,
a couple of people forgot it was Friday.
Well, what I do is I set your book up for success, meaning I set you up for success. I get you ready for an agent that could potentially get you to someone like Random House. I get you ready, if you don't want to go that route, to really become successful as an independent artist. I'll teach you how to get on the New York Times bestsellers list, even though you are an independent author. I will teach you how to properly format your book, how to properly brand your book, when to release your book, and just teach you how to market your book properly. And the first call that you get with me is free. It's totally on me. You send me an email, I will call you back. So my email is purplediamondpublishing2014@gmail.com.
What, Cherise, you keep talking about formatting. I mean, what is the proper format for agents and publishers? What is it that they require?
They require a font, a certain font size. They require a certain spacing size. And also, even though you're writing your book in Word, you still have to know how to format your margins so you don't have white spaces. The one thing that you do not want in your book are white spaces. It is annoying. And agents look at that as being very unprofessional, like you don't care about your book. Readers look at it as very unprofessional, like you don't care about your book. So why
mm-hmm.
should they care about your book?
Yeah. Yeah, so when they call you, just really quick, maybe one or two points that you might go over besides the formatting. What are some of the other things that you might talk to somebody about?
Basically, this is a call about you. I want to know what you want to do. Because you, as the client, I work for you. So you have to tell me where you want to go. And then I'll tailor everything to where you need to go. So you have to tell me, and then I will help you. That's my job.
Great.
So I'll go over the format, and I'll also tell you, I'm also going to be very honest with you, too. This business
mm-hmm.
is hard. It takes a lot of commitment from you to do this.
Yeah. Yep. And lastly, tell people how they can get in touch with you. You know, if you have a Facebook, a Twitter, an Instagram.
My Facebook is Cherise Chef Kateri Cox. My Instagram and Twitter are author_Kateri. And Kateri is K-A-T-E-R-I. And again, you can reach me by email, which is purplediamondpublishing2014@gmail.com.
Yep. And that is Chef Cherise Kateri Cox with Purple Diamond Publishing. And also, today's show is brought to you by Tipster, the new program that MVP has started to help our artists move forward. If you're a musician, a filmmaker, an author, and you would like to donate your projects, we put them in our store, and every time somebody downloads one of your projects, whether it's a book, music, or a film, there will be a tip jar on your page, and every time they donate or they download something from you, you will get a tip. Cherise and I have done that, and, you know, it's a lot of fun. People, you know, offering people during this time something that, you know, Cherise, what you donated some recipes, because besides being an author, you're also a chef.
Yes, I did. Some of the recipes that I got a lot of feedback from on the show, I actually put
mm-hmm.
them in there. And a lot of things that you can do with your family at this moment. I mean, it could become a family project. I know everyone is bored inside. It's hard to be locked away, you know, if you haven't done any crime. But at least you can do, you know, it's a whole family thing that you can do, and then it's something new. Everybody gets tired of the same things every day. So here's something fun and something different.
Yep.
So that's why
I did it. Yeah, you donated 10 recipes to the tipster program. Yeah, and I looked at them, and I downloaded your recipes, you know, because I love your recipes. Yep, it's a lot of fun. So, huh?
And thank you very much for my tip.
You're welcome, and thank you. Thank you for donating. No, and if you like more information about the tipster program, you can email me, ellen@mvponamand.com, and I will send you information about how you can get onto our tipster program. And now, without further ado, the number one radio personality, Brian the Hammer Jackson.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. I hope you can hear me. Ellen, can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. We got a really special guest in the studio today. I'm hoping I pronounced her name right. Toni K. Keefe. Am I correct,
yep.
Ellen? Well, she'll correct me
yes,
if I do it wrong. Thank you so much.
Yes,
we have a great double hitter. I'm really anxious to talk to Toni. And today we're going mystery on us. And, you know, we need a great break from what's going on in the news today. We need a great story and a great guest. And Toni is the one that fits this bill. As you heard what Ellen said, Toni is a child of the 60s. I love the 60s. I do. You know what I like about the 60s, Ellen?
What?
You know what
do you
I
like about
this?
What,
I like
it was
how
free love and you could smoke weed.
Oh, God. No. No.
Aaron. Aaron,
yeah.
She goes, hi, she called you a pothead.
Yeah, no. You know, it was just a great era, you know what I mean? You know, it's no different than what's going on now in the 2020s, you know, millennials, because they think the same way, peace, love. Let's do it together. You support one another. And, of course, the weed is better and stronger now than in the 60s. But so I call the millennials the little tech hippies because basically it's the same kind of attitude. And the music was great.
They're laughing at you, Brian. She goes,
right. Right.
Called you a pot.
No. If you remember the 60s, you were not there. And, you know, after a long career, and Ellen read this, you know, Toni has challenges in the boundaries for women of a certain age, you know, after a long career. And you know what? The girls in their 60s are hot. You ever I don't think Toni's a hippie because hippies don't write. So Toni's probably an artist. And we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about her baggage, and we're going to talk about Mildred in disguise with diamonds. Why is that song familiar? And
I like that play on words. Mildred in disguise,
I know, I do too.
With diamonds.
So we're going to talk about Toni. She's right here. Toni never dated Mick Jagger, but marched for a silver. Really? I didn't know she did that. Wow, this is interesting. All right, without further ado, let Toni in because Toni is like a national treasure. I don't mean that being old, I just mean that been living life, and this is what we got to do. Too many people don't live life anymore; they're on the sidelines. All right, let's let her in, Ellen. Let's let her in, ladies and gentlemen. Our guest today is Toni Keefe, and I'm waiting for Ellen to let her in.
She is in.
Hello, Toni. How are you?
Oh, I'm just peachy.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Ladies and gentlemen, Toni Keefe. Toni, it's just great. You know, it's great talking to you. I like what's going on with your book. I guess your book is a mystery, huh? Tell me all about it, Toni.
Well, mostly it was I came up with a name, and then Mildred took it from there.
Mm-hmm.
She's 71, widowed,
mm-hmm.
and broke. Her husband was an ex-cop. She'd been a meter maid. But, you know, just whatever he was doing, she had nothing. When they buried him, there was nothing left. And so she walked over to the casino, and
mm-hmm.
they gave her a job undercover. And from there, Mildred took over. You know, so we fight all kinds of crime. We go to the buffet a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got family, and, you know, it's where it's her recovery and movement forward. It's not a real deep, heavy mystery. There's a lot of humor in it. You know, a lot of challenges. In fact, whenever I'd get stuck, I'd talk to my grandson, and he'd say, "Oh, you need a body."
Wow. I like that. But tell me, Mildred is the main character in your book. Am I correct, Tony?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
Mildred Petrie.
I love that. So tell me how you came up with Mildred. How did this character develop? One day you're just walking or having dinner, and all of a sudden this character came to life. How did you create this character?
I was standing in the shower. I get all my best ideas when I have no place to write anything down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the name just came to me, and I don't know where the story came from. It's just once I had the name, I could go. And when I started writing it, she was older than me, but now I keep aging her in the following books just so I don't catch up.
The name Mildred is kind of an interesting name for a lead character. Does that name mean anything to you? Mildred?
No.
Petrie.
Okay. Nothing at all.
Oh, means nothing. Okay. Huh. All right. So it's a mystery, and let's go back to you and your personal life. Are you a person who loved Murder, She Wrote? Are you a mystery kind of person? Are you one of those mystery theater people? Do you like good mysteries?
Oh, absolutely. You know, whenever people will ask me what kind of books do you like the most, it appears that I like, you know, destruction.
Married, are you?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay. So,
a lot of my personal story has Greyhound buses in it, so, you know, I pick up and go when it's enough.
Oh, you don't hear about those anymore, do you? I mean, I haven't heard about a Greyhound bus in a long... Are they still working?
Yes, they are.
Do they really?
The nice thing about buses is you don't need to have a reservation or anything in advance. You can just leave.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember those. Oh, my God. And they were good, too. They were comfortable, air-conditioned, everything. Mildred, tell me about growing up. I mean, how old were you in the 60s? Were you like 14, 15, 16?
I graduated in 1966.
Ooh, you're in the heart of the 60s.
But in Illinois, central Illinois.
Oh.
So that's okay. Like the heart of maybe the late 40s.
Yeah, they didn't care. Yeah, they are kind of late, aren't they? But what was it like? If you had to explain, and I did say this, and I didn't mean it as a joke, because if you really think about the millennials and how they think about supporting one another, love, causes, peace, it's almost like they're tech hippies. And that word hippie, if you talk to a millennial, they'll just laugh at you. Could you describe what a hippie was in your point of view back in the day?
It's back to peace and love. Mm-hmm. You know, that they had the nerve to stand up and speak out. I wish the old hippies would join in with the millennials and, you know, let's get some stuff done.
Right. Because, I wasn't too far from the truth because I said, like, the millennials are like tech hippies, if you think about it. Peace, love, a cause, doing things for a cause, supporting one another.
Yes, outside of yourself.
Right, right. So it's not much different. What's new or what's old is new again. Were you ever a hippie? Did you get into that scene?
I never had the good fashion sense.
Really? Yeah. Well, you need a tie-dye T-shirt. You know, that's all you need. That's all you really need.
I was taking classes at night, and I had a teacher tell me that I was the most liberal, conservatively dressed person she'd ever met. You know,
so. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really? So you were a conservative kid. And a little bit, I'm interested in your civil rights situation. Have you ever been put into a situation where you fought for somebody's civil rights, whether it's women's rights or civil rights?
Oh, yes. I had had an abusive husband, and I just happened to fall in with a couple women from the National Organization for Women.
Uh-huh.
And they believed in me, and within 2 years, I was the president of a large chapter in Florida. And then I was a state officer during the time of the clinic bombings and
wow.
attacks. So I was being followed and threatened and all kinds of things. So, in fact, I was in the newspaper once three times in three different sections.
Hmm. I hope you were in one piece, because back then, now was very powerful, though. Now was really powerful. They were not so much peaceful people. They were angry women. They did it in a peaceful way, but they were angry. They got things done. And it was no...
I got to have, in one day, because mm-hmm. of the political activism,
mm-hmm.
We had three candidates running for president. I had breakfast with Gary Hart, lunch with Walter Mondale, and dinner with Jesse Jackson Jr.,
really?
Where they were trying, it's because we would volunteer and we would go to work.
Mm. You have an interesting life. I don't know what to interview you first, because we got a short period of time. I mean, having, how was Gary Hart? Now, Gary Hart was like a scandal, wasn't he? Was he like a little scandal?
Oh, yes, yes. They found an old lover back in the closet on him.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, that took him down.
Wow.
Times have changed.
Not really. Well.
Well, it really. Destroyed him, so.
Yeah. I mean, we got a guy in that White House that has a porn star. I mean, have we really? Really?
You know what, Brian? No, times have changed nowadays. Mm. You know, you can have a scandal. You can sleep with a porn star and not have anything done to you. You can still run for president after
but,
doing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but it's not even a scandal anymore. It's just part of your credits.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean,
it's
yeah.
changed. You know?
I know. So you got into the political world. How long were you with now, National Organization of Women? And how old were you when you first got in?
Mm-hmm. It's National Organization for Women. Because
for women.
About,
really?
Yeah, a good 15% are men. And that's back in the 80s.
Wow. I did not know that.
So I'm still a member.
Oh, I didn't know they were still operating.
Oh, yes.
Really? We need you guys. Where are you? We need you guys now. That is fantastic.
Literally and figuratively.
That is so true. No, I'm not kidding. It was a great... Did you ever burn your bra?
The bras were too expensive. No.
Oh. Did you burn anything?
I'm a firefighter's kid, no.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I burned up the airwaves, you know.
Oh, there you go. Were you a disc jockey? Were you a talk show host on radio?
Oh, no, but I was always available. So I did a lot of interviews, a lot of press,
really?
Some radio. I was working for my ex-husband, who was an insurance adjuster, and I just learned his job and left.
You don't seem to talk kindly of your ex-husband. Where is he at now? Where's you bury him, and are you acquitted?
I don't know where they buried him, but, you know, he's still in Florida. In fact, when I'm in Washington State now, and when I was calling to get some work with the insurance companies,
mm-hmm.
One of the guys asked me if I ran out of land or money getting out of that marriage. So,
Wow. How long were you married, Mildred? I'm trying to call you Mildred. Tony? How long were you married, Tony?
8 years.
When did abuse happen? How many years in did this abuse start to happen?
About 7.
Oh, my God. Was he an alcoholic, drug abuse kind of person?
Oh, yeah.
He's,
No, no. He liked early times in water.
Oh, did he really?
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Now, people don't know what early times is. Isn't that a brand of whiskey?
Oh, yes.
It's
not an expensive brand, even though he could have afforded better. He liked what he grew up on, so.
Yeah. I'm a Scotch and seven man myself. So, but I don't abuse women. They usually go out with me to abuse me because they're going. They just broke up with an ex. It's easy. They take a good shot. All right. You know, I'm wondering because you have so much the political life and you're growing up in this kind of life and now, but you write about a mystery. You don't write anything about your political life. That's interesting. So let's go right back to your book. And the name of the book is Mildred in Disguise with Diamonds. And this is a Mildred Unchained Book 1. So I'm thinking there might be a couple more books coming on after that, after this one.
I've just released the fourth one.
Mm-hmm.
But it was supposed to be a standalone book.
Right.
I didn't plan on a second one or a third one, let alone a fourth one.
Mm-hmm.
She's just a character that continues, and, you know, if I can come up with another crime that had happened in a casino, there might be a fifth.
Okay. Does it have to happen in a casino?
Well, that's where most of her life is, and that's where, you know, she's more of a crime fighter. I'd think more of a crime book than so much a mystery because it's not one thing. Maybe in the third book it's more one thing that's solved, but overall it's fighting crime, and she works undercover. The initial idea kind of came with being older, you tend to disappear. You're not noticed when you walk in a room. And you can pretty well get away with anything. So I made her working undercover because as an older woman, if somebody decides they noticed her, she just goes into the gift shop, buys another T-shirt, and disappears again.
That's kind of funny.
So I made it a superpower.
Really? That's kind of funny and sad at the same time. No, it really is. I mean, we really think about it. I'm glad we're going to talk about this, too, because it's a very sensitive subject. You know, can I ask you how old you are, Tony?
No, but I'm 71.
Okay. And, you know, Ellen's our laugh track. It's great to have her.
I can tell.
Yeah,
she's making me smile.
She is. That's what she does. But
well,
Mildred,
I'm sorry. I keep telling you, okay, what you say, how you say it.
I know. I mean, I was talking about Mildred the character, but, you know, she's not far. Can you tell me, Tony, if you had to give our audience, because you are actually not the oldest who's been on the show. You're not the oldest who first got the book because people are living longer. I mean, but can you, if you had to describe, Ellen's kid's listening right now and she's 16. If you had to describe what is life like being an older lady at 71, what would you tell people who have not quite reached it yet, and what's it about?
Well, it's like a series of incarnations. You'll have different times in your life that you're kind of surprised they even connect to where you're at now.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, I was at a book signing event, and someone told me they didn't read. And I asked her, how do you expect to be my age and a know-it-all? You know, you really read, pay attention, and challenge yourself. Go for that dream.
Right. Now, that's advice. Tell me how you feel, because you're absolutely right. How we treat our seniors and how we look at them and how we treat them, you're right. You disappear. You in a restaurant, you're not there. And how they market things on TV and Black Friday, they're not really catering to you. And if they are catering to you, it's Big Pharma saying some kind of prescription you must have because your memory is getting lost and you must buy it. But how does it feel to be a senior citizen? How are you treated, honestly?
Well, it's hilarious because I think I'm 35 until I see a reflection.
Right.
And
right.
So I actually called my mother one day and accused her of sneaking behind my mirrors And she told me that her mother is doing the same darn thing to her, and we both need to quit it.
Is your mother still living at this time?
No, I've lost her, but recently.
Oh, just recently.
She was over 90 and the youngest one in her family to pass away.
What is your main fear being the age as you are right
frogs.
Now? Yep. Okay, this is going to be a difficult. Where's that laugh track? Ellen, help me. Okay. I've had so many
things happen, you know, that are threatening, and it's you just go through them. And I've got a quote I kind of live by. It was Garrison Keillor that used to do Prairie Home Companion, and he said, "There's no such thing as a bad day for an author. It's all research."
That's cute. That is cute. But are you single now, Tony? Are you single and looking?
Not particularly.
Really? Why not? Why not?
I don't have time.
Oh my God! But if you found someone, I mean, a lot of people are afraid to be alone. I mean, remember in our day, even my day, Tony, keep calling you Mildred, Tony. In our day, people are afraid to be alone. Do you have that fear?
I have cats.
You.
I'm not afraid at all. I'm afraid of not being respected.
Right.
Not being listened to. Those things cause me fear. But I didn't start writing till I was 60.
Right.
And so, you know, this is a whole new life for me. And now I've got 6 books out. I'm kind of stunned.
Well, I'm going to go right back to your books. I'm just, you know, we had that talk about seniors and everything. I'm with you, too, as far as the respect or the disrespect and the disappearance of people don't see you because you're older and blah, 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 blah. But let's get back to the book. You have 91 people, Ellen, has given her a review. 4.5 out of 5 reviews. 91. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? That's the highest I ever had anybody on a show with. Do you have a lot of friends? Why do you keep calling you Mildred? I got to change the page. Tony, do you have a lot of friends? Or you belong to a book club or something? That's kind of high for writing a book.
Well, it's my political activism kind of comes back. I started out in a short story group. And we had a woman that really got nailed several $1,000s on an edit that was bad.
Really?
And so two of us gathered together, and we started the Writers Cooperative of the Pacific Northwest. And what we do is we have probably active 40 authors in this. We're north of Seattle, about 30 miles. So we've got about 40 authors. And we work together on marketing and publishing and those issues. We don't really critique each other's work, but we will support each other. But that's not where my reviews came from. My reviews came from me pounding it all the time.
Right.
And being out there. I keep telling them we're selling ourselves as much as we're selling Mildred.
Right.
You know, is that until my name is known. So
you got the right idea.
That's what,
you got
that's
the right,
a lot of it.
You got the right
so
idea.
So we work together and do, you know, we do events together, all kinds of things.
Well, you know, we have that in common. My reviews come from me pounding it all the time. We have that in common.
Oh, my God. No.
Ellen. She is so naughty. Ellen, control yourself. Sorry, Tony. That was a very bad joke. I can see right now your friends are writing a letter to Blog Talk right now. We're writers. We're on it. We know what he's doing. We're on it right now. 91
reviews.
Don't
worry, because it'll take them a year to get it edited in exactly the way they want it.
That's true. They will edit. So, Tony, here's some of your reviews. Just a headline. Oh, my God, 91, there are 5 reviews. Rachel, she says, fast, pace, and funny. I can tell it's funny because you have a great wit. Another one, Ava, it hits the jackpot. We can go on and on and on. 91 of these. I love Mildred. Very enjoyable read by Rhonda Jones. And we go on and on. Julia Blake, fun read and a wonderful character in the shape of Mildred. Do you find that you're do you have an alternate personality, and is it Mildred or is it just a character? How close Mildred is to you, Tony?
Well, not as close as I'm being told.
Really?
I thought she was completely separate, but I apparently we're quite similar, and we like the same desserts.
Ah, and that is?
Cannoli.
Ah, okay. Now, I'm picking up your book. I'm going to a store, and I see this beautiful cover. By the way, you got a great cover on your book. It's a really nice cover.
Thank you.
I love it. I'm 45 years old. I'm looking for a great author. It catches my eyes. I love your title, Mildred in Disguise with Diamonds. It sounds great. What can I expect when I pick up this book? When I take it home, I take it to a cashier. I got it in my car. I'm driving home. It's raining and everything. I have to be in the house because I can't go outside. I crack open a book. What do you want me to experience when I read your book?
It's more of a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And to ponder, you know, to really look deeply because, you know, with a casino, you've got, you know, loose money,
right.
Alcohol, music.
Right.
I mean, what could go wrong? I can't imagine a thing. Now, on the fourth book, I put her on a cruise ship.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And
wow.
That was one of my writers at the cooperative came up and said, put her on a cruise ship, and as soon as I figured out how, off we went. But little did I know we were going to have the cruise ship problems. I just dealt with the hurricane.
Well, it's a great area for mystery because we're still staying with your. I guess, is this your first book, Mildred, the mystery book, Mildred and the Sky with Diamonds?
My very first book was Old Baggage. And it's in a complete different vein.
Sure.
And then I went to Mildred in Disguise. Then I did an old person romance, which is Mildred romancing the odds.
Mm.
And then I had her dealing with some organized crime and Mildred raising the ante.
Right.
And then I put her on a cruise ship with a bunch of Girl Scouts on Mildred Doubles Down on the Edge of a Storm.
Wow. You know, that could be your next book. Mildred gets divorced, gets married at the casino. She gets drunk. She loses all her money. She sees this nice guy. She gets married. Then she divorces the guy. And you can put the title, Old Baggage. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. Old Baggage again.
Again. Yeah. Just an idea. You also
Old Baggage was about a woman leaving an abusive relationship after 49 years. And
yeah.
The inspiration came from driving to the grocery store and seeing an older woman walking on the side of the road near the railroad tracks, kicking
mm-hmm.
dirt and cussing. And I looked mm-hmm. at my granddaughter and I said, that miserable SOB got 49 years. He's not getting 50. And I put her on a bus.
Let's talk about the language in your book. Like I said, Ellen's daughter is 16. What kind of language can she expect in your book? Because you have drug deals going on, armed robberies going on. She's in disguise. She's in a casino. There's drinking, undercover cop. So what kind of language
yeah.
can we expect? Do we have any potty mouth language in your book?
Some, but very little.
Mm.
But there is some.
What is the worst naughty language in your book? I mean, what is the word?
You want me to yell it?
Sure. It's your book.
No.
You put it in there.
It's we'll say old lady cussing.
Okay, but what is old lady? I don't know. What is old lady? Like, gosh darn it, or... Shoot!
Oh, yeah, whippersnapper.
Whippersnapper. Yeah, I don't know, and I don't want to be insulting. So
well,
you're the author.
Put it this way. We old women, we've been here. We see it all. We've been through most of it.
Really?
You know, so we don't have any restrictions on what language we might use,
okay.
But we would use it more, you know, as a reaction and not
sure.
just as an adverb.
Oh, I see. So today's book was say, let's say Mildred, let's say what Mildred goes in, she's undercover, she escapes, and the last thing she says is, "You're not going to catch me, motherfucker." Would she say that?
She wouldn't refer to her mother.
Okay. Maybe to her son, who was a son of a bitch. Maybe to her son,
oh,
I don't know.
No.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm
oh,
just
God.
Testing Mildred. Well, it sounds great. So, again, Mildred in Disguise with Diamonds, and we're talking with the great author, and Tony Keefe. Did I pronounce your name right, Tony, your last
yes.
name, Keefe? Okay. And this is...
I thought about using a pen name because I know that my last name has taken on another meaning.
Right. No.
And so
no.
I thought of a pen name, but they told me to hang on to it. I might get some readers I didn't expect.
Exactly. You should... You know, and actors, you know what happens, and you're not that far, because sometimes if you're a director, they give you a shitty movie, really shitty movie, embarrassing movie. So they'll put another name on the movie, and it's them. You know, let's say you're Steven. Give me a producer, whatever.
Steven Spielberg.
And they'll hand him a crappy movie, so he'll put his name as, A.B. Adenoid. You know, so... You might want to hold on to Tony Queef, and it might help you. It might help you.
Well,
you...
I was named after a stripper in the 60s, in the 40s. That's what
really?
My dad always said. But I researched it. She was an actress. But he's even at his dying day, he was telling me again that I was named after a stripper.
How was your father? When you have memories of your father, what kind of memories come up?
Oh, he's... A huge personality,
mm-hmm.
and positive and honest and outrageous.
Yeah. It's hard to live up to that, especially when, you know, do you believe that young women, when they want to get married or they're interested in a boyfriend, girlfriend kind of thing, that they kind of look for a characteristic that their father may have?
No. My mother broke down all of the pictures she had and gave each, I'm one of four children, and gave each
uh-huh.
of us an album. And my sister, Penny, she said, was looking at mine, and she said, "All your boyfriends look like my boyfriends." And I was looking at hers, and I said, "No, your boyfriends look like Dad." And we all went, whoa.
I know. Well, that's a big personality that a lot of people cannot live up to. It sounds like you had a happy home. Your mom, if you can describe your mom really briefly, what kind of mom did you have growing up in the 60s?
Well, she was 4'10",
mm-hmm.
A news photographer.
Wow.
And she was really the iron rod in the family. You know, when he had problems with his, he was a firefighter, when he had problems with his retirement, she's the
sure.
one that went in and yelled at the mayor and got it fixed.
That's where you got your balls. That's where you got your
balls.
Well,
we call them brass tits.
Yeah, okay. that's where you got them.
Yes.
The name of the, so, ages, so what kind of audience are you think that would enjoy your book? I mean, you got 91 people who are giving you rave reviews. I mean, again, that's the largest I've ever seen. So the kind of audience you're targeting, Tony, that would love your book?
A lot of baby boomers. It's funny, in my small town, I left when I was 18.
Mm-hmm.
But I got popular as soon as I put out a book.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and it has just gone all through the Midwest. I went back for a 70th birthday party.
Right.
And sold 15 books.
That's pretty good.
So, you know, I'm kind of marketing towards people of my age, but
mm-hmm.
it's
mm-hmm.
really anyone.
That is true. I mean, I'm still a fan of Sherlock Holmes. Murder, She Wrote. Any good mystery does not have an age. You know what I mean? A good story, a good mystery, it does not have an age at all.
It's just
and
a good character that you can believe
right.
in.
Right. And she doesn't cuss. Does she drink at all? Does your character drink?
Some, but not
okay.
much.
Okay.
That's why it works for her to be in the casino, because she's not really caught into the vices. She believes that possibly her husband has lost all the money at the casino, and that's why they move closer to it.
Yeah, I wonder how
but
she
that,
got to the casino.
That gets more complex as the books go on.
Well, you know what? Like at the end of your saying here, a breathless page turner and sensible shoes. I got a feeling this is a lot of humor in this book, because you're a very witty lady. I get a feeling there's a lot of side humor in this book. And the name of the book, again, is Mildred in Disguise with Diamonds. It's a Mildred Unchained Book 1. The author is Toni Keefe. Make sure you use the K or she will kill you in the next book. Let me see. Mildred, and you have, I only see Mildred Romancing the Odds, Mildred in Disguise. I'm trying to see Mildred Raising the Ante, Mildred Romancing. Okay, so you have like four books that you have?
Four Mildreds.
Mm. And
one
any
old
other
baggage
books?
And one of short stories daring you to write.
Wow. How do you find the time to write six books? I mean, when you do write, I'll just ask the next question. When you do write, do you need to be isolated, or do you need to be around people, or do you talk to your – how do you do it?
I turn on NPR in the background.
Do you really? Do you really?
I really do. I use it as white noise. In silence, I end up listening for things. So I put on NPR. And it just plays in the background. I usually don't hear much of it, but, you know, I've raised two generations of kids on NPR.
I do the same thing with CNN. I honest to God do. I do the same thing. It's almost on 24/7 and when I write and do things. I'm going to give you a couple of minutes, Toni. If we didn't talk on any talking points, if we didn't cover anything, please bring it out. But in that 2 minutes, pitch, tell people how to buy your book, where to reach you, how your fans can reach you, anything that you want people to know about you if we didn't touch upon it. And it's all yours, Toni.
Well, I have a webpage that's tonikeefe.com, and it's TONIKIEF.com. And all my books are posted there. They're also all available on Amazon. And due to the epidemic, pandemic, whatever panic we've got going,
mm-hmm,
I have made
mm-hmm.
all of my books on Kindle Unlimited and also on Kindle at 99 cents.
Wow. It's good for you. Good for you.
I'd rather my books were in somebody's hands. Oh, I must tell you, my first ex-husband called me. He's in
mm-hmm.
Baltimore, a singer.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I hear about your magnificent success as a writer. And I thought, who told you about that $3 I earned on Thursday? And I thought, for once, keep your mouth shut. Let him think you've done well.
Well, you know, he just needed an excuse to call you. You know that. You know.
Well,
he
sent me the $400 he owed me since 1982, so I have no complaints.
Well, how many marriages do you have, Toni? Two? You've been married twice?
Two. But I have several very long-term relationships in there, too.
Really?
Well, I'm old. What do you think?
Well, I'm looking. yeah. Well, you know what? I am looking at your – is that you? I'm looking at your picture right now. Is that you? Is that
where?
Or is that it's
I don't
on Amazon? It has you have like a Levi jacket on. You have a turtleneck sweater on. Grayish.
Oh, that'd
turtleneck.
Be me. Yeah.
Let me see. How old were you when you took this picture?
That was about 3 months ago.
You're a hot old broad, aren't you?
I'm a triple Scorpio. What do you expect?
Yes. Oh, triple Scorpio. I'm out. No, you're a very, very – do you see? She's a very beautiful lady, and she is fine. I'm seeing pictures of her. One, you look kind of saintly. That's the one that you're in the purple. Were you at church at the time? Because you look very nice and very saintly. And
I'm not a church goer, so no.
Mm. And there's
I
one
actually
that's
have. I was in a group. They said, with you and your turtlenecks, they thought that maybe in a previous life I'd been beheaded, where I'm always protecting my neck.
No. And then there's one, you look like you're in a restaurant and you're ready to kick some ass, and I bet you could.
Oh, that was vodka.
Was that? Well, you're a very beautiful lady. Inside
well, thank
and out.
You.
And don't forget, let's have that... let's have that social email again. Are you on Twitter? You're, of course, you're on Facebook and what other social media?
Well,
email?
I am on Twitter, and it's
mm-hmm.
That @ TONIKAYK1. I'm also on Instagram, but I pay my grandson to do that because
mm-hmm.
I just don't get it. And he's going to hit me up for money anyway, so.
Oh, my God. He's your tech support. Just call in your technician. He'll take care of that. Believe me, a lot of people use their grandsons for tech support. That's what they're good for.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
When she asked him for you know, ideas, he says, you need a body.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's the other grandson.
Oh, okay. Well, that's great.
Well, it's
I
like
love how
the
you...
first book. The first mm-hmm. book, Old Baggage, I said, I don't know where to take her. I got her out of the relationship. And he said, she goes see her son. And I said, she doesn't have any children. And he said, that anybody knows of. And it's like, that changed the whole book. And I had to go spend like a week rewriting.
Wow. Are you close to your grandson?
Well, that's what happens when you take a grandson to Olive Garden.
Yeah, really.
Oh, my God. Don't mention Olive Garden because that's my daughter's favorite place. We just ordered food from there yesterday.
Well,
are you
the one just had a 20th birthday, and that's exactly where we went.
Brian, you know how funny that is? Because, mm-hmm. you know, Erin's birthday is coming up in a couple of
yes.
weeks, and that's where she wants
yes.
to do, you know, that's what she wants for her birthday.
Wow. She loves it so much, she wants to be buried in an Olive Garden. That's how much this kid loves Olive Garden. But can I ask you, I'm going to ask you, before I let you go, I'm going to have to ask you a very personal question. You don't have to answer it, because what I'm going to ask you is, can you remember, congratulations, by the way, you probably just had a birthday, I'm sure, within the last couple of months? You might have just had a birthday.
Last October.
All right. Well, congratulations anyway. To make it to 71, and I hope when you're 100, you can look back and say, God, 71, that's when I was a wild child. And I got my 10th book out called I Didn't Think I Was Going to Make It. But
I like that title.
What else, can you remember the happiest moments of your life and what year, and the saddest moments of your life of what year? Because your lifespan went to so many generations, went to the civil rights, it went to a lot of wars, and you've seen it change from love, peace, and happiness to you've seen it change to war and then greed. And before there was a cell phone and before there was a you see where I'm going. Before the, you know, TV just turned color. And people don't understand, as somebody living through that, there's just so much.
We had the first color TV, and the neighbors mm-hmm. had come over because you only had Arthur Murray Dance Party and Bonanza in color. So all the neighbors would come over and watch.
Wow.
You know, oh, yes, I remember all those things. I was raised by people who tried to be positive and put a positive spin on everything.
Right.
So even in the deepest, I'll make a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times they're very inappropriate, but still,
sure.
you know, it's like I met a great aunt one time as a child, and she was covered in wrinkles, but they all went up where they were all smile wrinkles.
Really?
And she was probably the most beautiful woman I ever saw. And I tried to work very hard to emulate that and try to be positive.
Right.
It's not easy.
No. No. Do you remember the saddest do you remember a couple of the saddest things that really hit you hard? And we can go with
literally, yes.
No. No, you know what I'm saying. You know.
Well,
you
know, the one main issue that really got me politically active was reproductive rights.
Right.
And I had a fear that my stepdaughters would be as ignorant as I was. And I was in the position of having an illegal abortion,
mm-hmm.
and actually being very well taken care of through the whole thing, but it still carried this guilt with it.
Right.
And so, you know, it's, I don't want us to go back to ignorance. I want the women to keep speaking up. I want them to feel secure in themselves, that, you know, we can be a better partner when they're a better partner. You know, that we have to carry an equal load.
Let's keep that Ginsburg alive, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Let's keep her going.
That's why we all have to register and vote. I have not missed an election since the year I turned 21.
Congrats. You know, that's a hell of a thing. I want to thank you so much, Tony. I had a great time with you. Short time, but it was a great time. Ladies and gentlemen, get the book. It's on Amazon, Amazon now. Be a fan of Tony Keefe, K-I-E-F. Get Mildred. Get the book. Get the Mildred series. Get the whole series. Mildred in Disguise with Diamonds, but get the whole series. I think you'll enjoy it. Thank you so much, Tony, for coming in. It was a pleasure talking to you. And Mildred, if you could have some wise things to say with this this coronavirus thing going on and so many people scared. You've been through a lot of things. Do you have any motivational thing before you leave?
We have been through so much. We'll be through this one, too.
I mean, sure will.
I remember the polio epidemic. So, you know, this is just another one. And maybe we're getting smarter.
Maybe. Maybe.
And maybe not.
It's true. We can't get too smart. Come on, you're going to spoil the ending of the human race. We still need the morons. Thank you, Tony.
Yes.
For coming in.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, Tony Keefe. Ellen, please give her the car and limo and say goodbye to Tony. She's leaving right now. Thank you so much for booking her as a guest. I was smiling through the whole interview. Tony Keefe, everybody. What a beautiful lady. What a beautiful lady. Absolutely beautiful lady. She was so fun. Oh, she's still here. Oh, she's hearing me say nice things. Damn it. Usually don't hear that. Usually say that when they leave. Beautiful.
Well,
lady.
I planned on it, but I heard the applause and I had to bow.
I see. Oh, I see. Oh, I see. Ladies and gentlemen, Tony Keefe.
I'm gone now. Bye.
Okay.
Bye.
And we have a double hitter coming up. Up next is the chef, the great celebrity chef, Chef Cherise. And she's up now, so stay tuned. We're going to go with this segment right now. We're going to go bye-bye. And we're going to say, hello, Chef Yummy. Today she's making something that everybody's been looking forward to. And the name of it, Ellen, is?
The name of the dish that we're making is her, I don't know, stir fry.
This day is getting better. I don't know. Stir fry.
Yeah, because so if you wanna... asked her what make on Tuesday. She said, I don't know.
I don't know.
Said,
I know.
So
I don't know. Yeah. It's, you know, talk about a mystery. Stay tuned for the next show and we'll find out what's in her famous I don't know stir fry. It's better than her other dish. What the fuck is it? So stay with us. She's on now. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you in their doubleheader.